Well, good morning again. Before we get going into our message this morning, I want us just to remind us of something that we have started to do this fall as a church, and it's an app, it's a tool that allows us to pray, and so another way to engage our neighbors, and it's called Bless Every Home. And I want to show you this dashboard. This is our church just this fall. And so one of the things we're doing is this app allows you to know the neighbors around you and pray for them. It reminds you every day. And I don't think God has a dashboard like this somewhere in heaven, but this allows us to kind of know how we are engaging. And so you'll see here in the red, it's the total amount of prayers. I will tell you that as of Friday, that number was 3,610. Now, yes, we're counting-ish. But one of the reasons we do is because we believe that every number is a name, every name is a story, and every story has ultimately its start in Christ. And so we want to be praying for these, and we want to just get an idea of how we are praying, and that can encourage us. And so the red is the prayers up until this point. The yellow one there is what we call the shares, and that's that 31 people have gone to 31 neighbors from our church and had shared something with them. And it's not necessarily the gospel yet. This is just a moment. Maybe they went and cut their lawn or brought them sugar or something like that. But they've come and they've cared for them somewhere. And then the green one is the shares, and that is they've shared either their story or they've shared the gospel or they somehow made a gospel seed planted there. And this is exciting, and let's just give the Lord a praise for this morning, shall we? I don't want to judge us, but I think some of you cheered more for the Seahawks than that. This is what God's doing, folks. Come on! Seahawks aren't winning, but God is. Come on. But we're also part of something bigger, right? God's family, we're a small part of God's larger family. And one of the things that we're doing in Federal Way is we're part of five other churches. And so what you see here is our numbers along with the other four or five churches that are doing this. And so already this fall, what we have seen is 94,000 prayers for our neighbors. And over 4,000 opportunities to go and care for our neighbors, and over 4,000 shares of the gospel or the gospel story with our neighbors. One of the really cool things, if you are on the app, you can do this. If you're not, it's really cool. That's one of the things I found, is you can look and you can find out who are this idea of lights, 638, that's actually a gospel presence. And so you would make yourself a light in your neighborhood. And one of the things I found in my neighborhood is I went through the app and I was looking to see who I could be praying for. And I saw other lights, which means they're connected to other churches that are praying too. And so on my schedule or my plan is to go in the next couple of weeks and knock on their door and be like, hey, someone in here has the Bless Every Home app. I just wanted to say hi to you. Because it lets me know that there are other people, part of God's family, in our neighborhood as well, doing the same thing, probably praying for me as I am praying for them. So that's exciting. If you haven't done that and you want to figure out how to, if you're techno savvy, you can just go to your app store and put in Bless Every Home, download the app and get going. If you need some technical help, we still have the Nerd Herd on call. And so you can just take that connection card that Aaron was talking about and put Bless Every Home or prayer app or something like that with a phone number, and we'll make sure we get a hold of you and help you get that and get started on that. I want to share a story this morning. A couple weeks ago, I was at Sherry's. It's a restaurant. I was at the Sherry's that was down in Tacoma. I was there to meet a pastor friend of mine. I got there about an hour and a half early so that I could work on some sermon study. And so I'm sitting there just studying and reading and making notes. And all of a sudden, two active soldiers come in. It's really close to the base. And so they come in and they sit down. And it's across the restaurant from me. I just barely notice. And all of a sudden, I get this impression from the Lord. He's like, I'd like you to pray. I'd like you to pay for their meal. And so usually when it comes from impressions from the Holy Spirit, I then begin to have conversations with the Lord. Really, Lord? You want me to pay for their food? Yeah, Jeremy, that's what I want you to do. Okay, I'm not sure I want to do that, Lord. And then he impressed on me very clearly that just the day before, someone had actually been very generous and supportive of April and I in a financial way. And all of a sudden, he brought me back to that moment. And he said, listen, were you not blessed yesterday? Oh, yeah, Lord, that was a blessing. I really appreciated that. He's like, okay, then why don't you be a blessing today? Oh, that's a good one, Lord. Okay. And so I did. But as God and I were conversing, I had another thought. Should I wait for them to order? Because if I tell them before that, then they could get the steak and eggs rather than just the steak than the eggs and toast. And God's like, you cheapskate. And he's like, just do whatever you want. Just pay for their meal. And so then as God and I are having this conversation, two more soldiers walk into Sherry's. And all of a sudden, I feel like the guy who holds the door in a crowd. Like, how many more are coming in, Lord? How much is this blessing going to cost me? Do I have to pay for their meal too? And God just gently impresses upon me, it's okay, just start with the first two. Okay, I can do that. So I call over Shirley. Kid you not, Shirley from Sherry's, that's her name. Because one of the things that we're asking you to do is to introduce yourselves to the server and then tell them that you're going to pray for them and your food. And so I got to know Shirley over my couple hours there. And so I call over Shirley from Sherry's. And I say, listen, I'd like to pay for their meal. Not their meal, their meal, if I could do that. And she's like, oh, that's really nice of you. Okay, I'll make that happen. And so all of a sudden, I get back to my study. And Shirley goes and does her part in this story. And God reminds me and gives me this word for this morning. He says, God's people are blessed to be a blessing. God's people are blessed to be a blessing. And there's this clear theme in Scripture that God's people are blessed to be a blessing. We see it right from the start of God's story, right all the way through the end. Let me show you what I mean by that. In Genesis 1, at the very beginning of the story, we're told this. Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. And he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. You caught it, right? Right at the beginning, God says, and they were blessed. God blessed them. What did he bless them with? Well, with life, with his image bearing, with pretty much everything. God gives them everything. And then he gives the purpose for his blessing. Go be fruitful. Go multiply. Extend the blessing that you've been given into and through creation, through all of created order. You go with your blessing and bless the next. And you and I both know, if we know the story, that they didn't do a great job. They ruined it, actually, for all of us. We see sin and mess and brokenness enter the world through their decision to disobey. It's really an anti-blessing, and it just keeps spiraling. And what seems like a very quick going from this to that, it goes from they are blessed to be a blessing, all of a sudden to fratricide. Fratricide is just sibling rivalry gone really wrong. It's brother killing brother. And it just keeps getting worse, and God chooses to do a hard reset. In those of us who are PC people, that's a Control-Alt-Delete reset. For you who are Mac people, you're going to shake your heads and be like, our computers don't do that. They actually do. I saw it this week. And you people, you Mac people, you just go get new Macs. That's how sinful you are. And you can tell that Mac people need Jesus' grace because their image is a bitten apple, right? That's another story. So God does a Control-Alt-Delete, a total reset in that moment, and then there's a giant flood. But God even then is going to bless a family, a guy named Noah and his family. He builds a rescue shelter for the animals that floats. And after the flood, here's what God says to Noah. It says, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Does that sound familiar? Right? This is God's people are blessed to be a blessing. And now we fast forward to God choosing to create a people. And we see this guy named Abram. And the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in all, you all the families of the earth shall be what? Blessed. You see it, right? God says to Abraham, I will bless you. And he follows it up, and if you ever see the words so that in Scripture, that's a purpose statement. That's an application statement. He's like, I'm blessing you so that you will go do something. He says, so that you will be a blessing. Right? And so all of a sudden, God is creating this theme in the first part of his story that says, I'm blessing so that you may be a blessing. Now we're going to fast forward at ridiculous speed. Abram becomes Abraham. His great, 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 great grandson, Joseph, is a blessing to Egypt and the known world during a time of regional famine. The people of Israel become a people, but then they become a nation, then they're enslaved, and then all of a sudden they are freed. They come into a covenant relationship with this God at the bottom of a mountain. They mess up a lot. Then they get moved to the edge of the promised land that God had promised Abram, and now all of this nation, and they're about to conquer it. Then they punk out. And then God gives them kind of like a long time out where that entire generation must die before the next generation then sees God's blessing and his covenant come to place. And all of a sudden, this next generation is raised up. They begin to enter the promised land under their leader, Joshua, who was back there with Moses, but now he sees the fulfillment of this. And Joshua says this to the people as they have entered already the promised land. He says to them, and the people came out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped at Gilgal at the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Now, it might not be so obvious to us because the word blessing isn't in there, but there are a couple key indicators to say that this theme, God's people are blessed to be a blessing, is still in here. Right? Joshua retraces some of the high points of their relationship with God. Listen, you were at the Red Sea. Egypt was at your back, and we walked through on dry land. He reminds them by coming through all the entire wilderness story with an end cap and says, listen, we're at the Jordan River and it's at flood stage and we walked through on dry land. He said, this is what God is doing. And did you see the so that in there? Why did God do that? Why did he bless them in that way? So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. They were blessed to be a blessing. They are to reveal his blessing, retell the blessing story, and show God to be the God of blessing. God's people are blessed to be a blessing. Now we need to fast forward at ludicrous speed. Jesus, the Son of God, comes and he lives a perfect life. He gathers and teaches his way of living to the disciples and to his followers, and then he dies an unjust and horrible death. He is resurrected, as we sung about this morning, and he sends out his disciples to be a blessing to the nations by sharing his way of life, by making more Jesus apprentices. And then his favorite disciple, John, he, near the end of his life, shows up in a city named Ephesus, and he begins to pastor and shepherd a small gaggle of Jesus followers who are gathering together. And this group of Jesus followers, they're messy, they're divided, they're discouraged, and they're treating each other pretty poorly. And Pastor John has a message for them. So would you join me in his letter to this group? And it's in 1 John chapter 4. If you have your Bible, you're going to open up. It's almost right near the back. If you have a device, we've set the table for you this morning to join us. We love that we get to be in God's Word together. And so you just need to take your device, point it at that QR code, and it should take you to Bible Gateway, right to our reference this morning. So join me in 1 John chapter 4. Let's read this together. He says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is the love God has made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And if we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world, then whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and believe that the love that God has for us, God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. But this love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, also we are in the world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Just like in the Joshua passage, the word blessing isn't blatantly stated here, but it is clearly on the mind and the heart of our author, John. And to find it, we have to understand a little bit better what blessing and being blessed means. Let's start with what being blessed is not. It is not the idea of bless your heart. This is obviously a passive-aggressive ploy to say, I wish you would fall into a well and break your leg. We clearly see that. What it is not is when you sneeze, right? Mitzubishev. And then someone says, bless you. That's not what we mean by being blessed either. This is evidently also a ploy, a kind of way of saying, listen, will you please just stop being the center of attention and go ahead, maybe cover your mouth a little bit better. That's what we mean when we say bless you. Or the last thing that it's not is hashtag blessed life. Right? That hashtag blessed life on social media is, you know, we put our best photos on our socials, we put our vacation pics, you put your kids being super cute and super obedient there, and you make sure the at messed life stays behind the camera. And I'm sure what we really think when we see hashtag at blessed life is, bless your heart. Maybe you don't think that. I do. So what do we mean when we say we're blessed? Well, we have to just go back to what we see in Scripture, and to be blessed is to receive with thanksgiving all that has been given from God as a gift. We're told by Jesus' brother James, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Our days, our wealth, our health, our love, even our identity in him aren't given as a heavenly treat because we've done something well. We've not knocked on heaven and said, trick or treat, and God decides just to bless us because we've been good people. No, in all we have, in all we do, in all we are recipients of a grace that has been given undeserved. That's the gospel. That's what we mean by blessed. Not that we deserve it, but that God has been the initiator of it. That the God of the universe chooses and acts in kindness and love towards us by his own volition and his own initiation. And we see this in our passage this morning. Don't take my word for it. Verse 9, God sent his Son. Verse 10, not that we have loved God, not that we did something to deserve this, but that he loved us and sent his Son. Verse 13, because he's given us of his Spirit. Verse 19, we love, why? Because he first loved us. Let me get back to my story from Sherry's. So here I am being a blessing. I'm initiating, I'm giving grace and generosity to these two undeserving people in the corner over here. And Shirley from Sherry's comes over and says to me, hey, how do you want to do this? And I said, what do you mean? She's like, well, there are a couple of ways that you can do this. I can go over and tell them that you paid for their meal, or I can go over and it can be anonymous. And I'm like, okay, those are good options. You know, I'm not doing this for recognition, but one of the reasons, honestly, I do interesting things is because I have to come and say interesting things to you. A pastor's role is just to create and to be the curator of stories. His family can tell you that. And so I'm thinking, well, I also want a good story, and so maybe there's more to this story than I just bought a meal for two people. And so I said to Shirley from Sherry's, I said, let's split the difference. Don't tell them that I did it. I'm not trying to get recognition. But if they ask out of curiosity, oh, who would be the amazing soul in here that would bless us so richly? They must ask like that. You can point me out over here. Oh, that sounds like good, she says. And so she heads off to give them the bill that had already been paid. And so I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, here's what's going to happen. In my mind, I've already played out the scene. They go to pay the bill, and Shirley tells them, oh, it's covered. And they ask, by whom? And she points across the room, and there I am, sitting with my Bible open and heavenly aura around me. And so they come over and they thank me. I tell them, you know, it's okay, I'm blessed by Jesus, and I wanted to be a blessing to you. You know, God's love for me compels me to love you, and so I'm so glad I was able to do this today. The female soldier, she starts to get teary-eyed. She suddenly sits down and says, just this morning, I said, God, you are not real, and the only way I will believe it is if you show up today. And she says, this is him showing up. And we pray right there, and she comes back to Jesus after two to three years of prodigal living, and we have a gracious moment, and her friend there begins to get his eyes welling up, and he's not there yet, but she is, and it's just an amazing moment. And that's how it played out in my mind. It was fantastic. Shirley goes, tells them, and you know what they did? They got up, and they walked out the door. How ungracious can you be? How unthankful were those two soldiers? I'm telling you. They just walked out. They didn't even look over at me. I was kind of giving them the eye over here. Like, I'm over here. Nothing. They just walked up and they left. And I was a little ticked. And I told God I was a little ticked. I was a little ticked at them. I was a little ticked at God. I was like, Lord, why would I pay for their meal if they're not going to be thankful? God, what's the use of paying for their meal if the Great Sherry's Revival of 2023 wasn't going to happen? And I'm having this little pity party with God, and he just impresses on me something that just struck me. He says, listen, Jeremy, how many times do I bless you every day? Do you receive a blessing of just life, provision, graciousness, wisdom when you ask for it? And then how many times do you just get up from the table and walk out and don't thank me? How many times, Jeremy, am I just the great gift giver? And you just take what I give you and you don't look up at me and you don't come over and you don't thank me and you just walk out the door. Jeremy, in this story, you aren't the giver here. You're not the hero of this story, Jeremy. You're the receiver. And I kid you not, at Sherry's, God's impressing this on me in that moment of self-pity. And I had that moment of, oh, you're right, Lord. That's the lesson I needed to learn today. Because if I live like I'm entitled, if I live like I'm owed mine, if I live like I am the hero of the story, then I will always miss the chance to see God's blessing as abundant and generous as they are every single day. To live out the blessed, to be a blessing life, I must first stay receptive and alert to how God continues to bless me in the little, in the mundane, and very few times, but sometimes in the extravagant. See, it's only then when we start to see and thank God for the good God and the gift giver and the blessings that he gives us that we can start to give away what we are receiving. And John is clearly picking up we're laying down here this morning. He continues in verse 7. He says, let us love one another. Why? For love is from God. God sent his Holy Son into the world. And did you see that word? So that we might live through him. Verse 9. Verse 11, if God so loved us, what must we do? We must also ought to love one another. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. We're told in verse 19, we love because he first loved us. Verse 20, if anyone says, I love God, hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God, because God first loved us, is implied, we must also love his brother. Folks, God's people make God's love visible to the world. Our faith from the very beginning was meant to be personal, but never private. God's people are blessed to be a blessing. My good friend, Pastor John Bennett, puts it this way, in order for the message of the gospel to be credible, it must be visible. For the gospel to be credible, it must be visible. You sat around tables, I'm sure, this Thanksgiving weekend at some point, and you made judgments on people based on how good the food tasted, right? You sat there, and if you had a really good mac and cheese, you're like, oh, this chef is amazing. This cook is fantastic. What a blessing. What a great cook that is. Maybe you tried some of Aunt Mabel's dessert concoction, and you thought, bless her heart. Aunt Mabel's got so much going for her, but being a good dessert maker, not one of them. When we give credit to the master chef, God, for the blessings that he serves us on a daily basis, then those around us will hear about him in a way that brings him glory. And even better, I love that God does this. He not only gives us a great feast and a meal, but he also gives us the ingredients. And he says, listen, why don't you join me in making and being a blessing to those around you? And let's make a dish that blesses others. See, God's people are blessed to be a blessing. Let me keep going with my Sherry story because it's not over yet. There's more to this story. After the two recipients of this blessing walked out, I'm still sitting there, kind of curmudgeoning a little bit. God and I are still having that conversation. And Shirley comes over and she's smiling. Do you know what just happened? She smiled. She told me. I said, yeah, Shirley, I do. Two people got a free meal. And they didn't thank me. Thanks for rubbing it in, Shirley. Now go get me a pie, Shirley, so I can eat my feelings. I didn't say that. I wanted to, but I didn't say that. They have really good pie at Sherry's, by the way. I said, no, Shirley, what happened? She's like, when those two found out that their meal had been paid for, they paid for the other two. And I sat there and God slapped me upside the head again. He's like, see what I'm telling you? See, my job wasn't to pay for all four. My job was to be faithful, it was to be obedient. And God was going to take care of the rest. My job wasn't to bless everybody in that area with my generosity and extravagance. It was just to be faithful and obedient and hearing what God said and doing what he told me to do. And God was going to take care of the rest. As I've been blessed by my Heavenly Father, my job is to be a blessing. I sat there and I heard that and it just kind of cut to the quick again. And I was like, okay, maybe God still knows what he's doing. Maybe the Apostle John was telling his congregation in Ephesus, it's still something that we can hear and apply today. We love because he first loved us. God's people are blessed to be a blessing. And I want to bring this home and then give you an application. And I want to use Psalm 23, which many of us would recognize and be familiar to us. And you may be wondering, well, how does this fit into the table of blessing? And there's a guy named Dallas Willard. He's no longer with us. He's with the Lord. And he was a philosopher and a theologian. He thought really deeply about God and his word. And as he did so much studying in Psalm 23, he just felt compelled to rewrite it. And not that he rewrote it better, but gave it a little bit of a spin that allows us to maybe hear our theme this morning, that God's people are blessed to be a blessing, in just a little bit different way. So as I read this, you tell me, you tell yourself maybe, if you can hear the theme this morning, if you can see the table this morning. He says this: "The Lord is my shepherd. I have life without lack. In his green pastures I've eaten my fill, so I lie down. As at his still waters my thirst is satisfied. He heals and reintegrates my broken spirit depths in his eternal life. So I can walk in paths of righteousness on his behalf. Even though I go through loss, hunger, disease, aging, and death, I will fear no evil because you, Jesus, are with me. Your strong rod and protective staff put me at liberty. Your abundant provision is a table feast for me, so I'm happy to share it with my enemies. You give me hot showers and warm, fluffy towels, joyful experiences and deep relationships to make me feel clean, special, and powerful. My cup runs over so I can be generous without ever running out. Surely this world is a perfectly safe place for me to be. Because I dwell and abide with God in the fullness of his life in the kingdom of the heavens forever." Did you see the blessing in that psalm? Did you see the table? Did you see the idea of those who are blessed, who sit by still waters, who are nourished, who in the moments of fear and agony can be comforted? Did you see their role then to be a blessing and have that cup poured out? Did you see the hashtag blessed life? Because that's what it is. And here are two ways that I want to give you in closing today that you can live out blessed to be a blessing. The first this morning is just to receive the blessing. How can we take the next step in living life with an attitude of gratitude to our Heavenly Father for all the good and gracious blessings that he blesses out? Just open your eyes and live life like you're not an atheist. How many times do good things happen? Do you have breath in your lungs that something goes your way and you're like, "Oh, that was lucky. Oh, what a coincidence." How many times, and you've heard me say this before, do you see the majestic mountain or an amazing sunset or even the fog on the Sound and you're like, "Oh, that's really good looking. That's really beautiful," without giving props and recognition to the creator of the beauty? Just start looking for the blessings that God is already doling out. And here are a couple options. You can probably come up with more than this, but one of them is just make a list of thankfuls. Practice seeing the blessing first. Speak his blessings out loud when you see something magnificent. Just say, "Thank you, God. That's good. That's great. You did that." Maybe make it a game with your kids. We used to sing a song in my house, "Count your blessings, count them one by one," right? Start singing the song. Instead of complaining, make that a trigger to then start counting the blessings. Make the first thing you say in the morning, "God, you've given me breath. God, you've given me extra aches and pains that show me I've lived a longer life. Thank you that I still ache in pain." Maybe the last thing you do at night is to find 4, 5, 7 things that you can just be thankful for and say, "That's a blessing, Lord. That happened today, and you're the author of it." Maybe you can look for the smallest things. One of the things that I do, and you'll hear me if I am ever around you and we have this moment, is I thank the Lord for taste buds. Because how would we know meatloaf tastes so bad if it wasn't for taste buds? What is the smallest thing you can thank the Lord for? And then just start growing from there. Just receive the blessing that God is already giving. And the second thing you can do to live the blessed, to be a blessing life, is bequeath the blessing. We don't use that word bequeath a lot. I thought it was a good one to bring back. It just means pay it forward. If God has blessed you with the little things and the medium things and the big things, then go ahead and be a blessing in the little things, the medium things, and the big things. How can we take the next step of living life with gospel generosity, of blessing like our mission tells us that we are on, to those around us? How can we dole out the blessing that we've received to those around us as well? Let me give you a couple ideas. And again, this is not an extensive list. The first is maybe think of four or five people who are closest to you, family members, co-workers, that type of thing, and list seven attributes of their character, of who they are, that you just really love, that you really admire, that you really appreciate. And then maybe to be a blessing, you just every day pick one of those and give them words of encouragement. Man, I see in your character you are such a hard worker. You know, you are so gracious. You know, you make people smile, and just pick one a day and bless someone with words of encouragement. Maybe you want to do this financially. You want to go out and buy $20 worth of gift cards at $5 each. Maybe it's an Amazon or Starbucks or Chick-fil-A, and see how long those actually last in your wallet. If you start asking, Lord, who do I need to be a blessing to today? See if they don't just burn a hole and you start looking and seeing the world differently. And instead of seeing what you can take from it, you start looking around and say, who can I make smile with this? Who looks like they're down and they need a little bit of caffeine this morning or this afternoon? And see what it looks like to feel like you were blessed to have $20. Now you can be a blessing with that. Maybe you just find the person who's not smiling and you go and you make it your mission to make them smile. Maybe you hug a widow or a widower. Maybe you invite another family over to join you at a table. Maybe it's a game table. Maybe it's a snack table. Maybe it's a food table. But you just enjoy and invite someone else into your space. Don't feed them Aunt Mabel's dessert. Maybe you sing a song of Christmas cheer for all to hear, because you can do that now. And how can you, because we are blessed, be a blessing? Folks, we are here because God's people are blessed to be a blessing. And we're here today to hear that. But in just a couple minutes, we're on a mission to go be a blessing. Because we don't stay here all week. You get a little awkward when I get in here Monday and you're still here. God's people come together so that we can be sent out. God's people are blessed to be a blessing. Let's pray. Lord God, it is no secret. We don't want it to be a secret. We never want it to be a secret that we are blessed. And it's not a blessing, Lord, like the world looks like it, like success and wealth and fame and influence. And Lord, those may or may not come. That is not an indicator of your blessing. Your spirit is. Your adoption is. A broken relationship where that was broken, that is now restored, is a blessing. Lord, if we are to believe your word, and it says that you are the giver of all good gifts, then everything we have, as we saw from Genesis 1, from life and image bearing, all the way to everything, is a blessing. And so, Father, let us just be receptive. And remind us, open our eyes, let the scales fall away, that we are blessed. Even in the times of suffering, as Psalm 23 tells us, that we do not walk alone, and that's a blessing. And Lord, let us not be selfish with that. Let us not hold it in. Let us not be disobedient. But let us go and be a blessing. Let us show generosity in a way the world has never seen, because they so desperately need to see you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.